and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. In John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Father in heaven, thank you for showing us how to love. We thank you for giving your Spirit to your people that enables them to love with your kind of love. I pray today that our hearts would be open and receptive to your word and to the principles that we're going to see here. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Would you like to learn not just to hold your marriage together, but to become united as lovers, experiencing a living, growing, romantic love which becomes more wonderful every year? Would you like to know how to make every month a honeymoon for you? It is my prayer that you and your marriage partner will come to enjoy a love-filled Christian marriage. To know by experience how enriching the emotion of love can be, and for you to realize the possibility that your whole life can and should be filled with this kind of love. Many marriages are in trouble today. And the issue on the minds of most people is a little four-letter word. The word L-O-V-E. The lack of it and the longing for it. In a typical week, a pastor may hear burdens like these expressed. Pastor, is there any way a couple may learn to love each other? One couple, bewildered and heavy-hearted, said, "We are married, and as Christians, we do not want to divorce, but there is no love in our marriage. What can we do? I know I should go back to my wife," a new Christian admits, "in counseling, but I don't care for her. Honestly, I never have." Another says, "I'm so torn inside, so disappointed in our marriage." A wife confides, "We are both born-again Christians, but my husband doesn't see that it is possible for love to be rekindled in our marriage. I know our God is big enough to handle that, but my husband doesn't think it's possible." The good news I want to share with you this morning is that you and your marriage partner can have a thrilling love relationship, more wonderful than any romance novel that has ever been written. The condition is if you will develop your marriage God's way. Amen. Husband, do you know that it's possible to love your wife as Christ loved you? Wife, do you know that it's possible for you to love your husband as Christ loves you? Sometimes you may not feel like loving your wife, men. Sometimes rejection, even quiet, courteous rejection, is hard to handle. But you will find that when you obey the Lord and put the principles of the Bible into practice, you will really learn to love your wife the way God intended, and this will become a pleasure as well as a responsibility. The husband is the leader in the home. The Bible teaches this. And as you become the husband God designed you to be, your wife will begin to respond with love just as God planned and promised for her. Husbands and wives can fall in love with each other and find through firsthand experience that God has a genuine romantic love rooted in the reality of agape love for those who will take His counsel seriously. Amen. The thrill of romance, the pleasure of friendship, the tranquility of belonging, the sweetness of intimacy. In fact, all the aspects of love can become an integral part of your marriage. The principles found in the Word of God work because they are grounded in biblical truth and because they have the power of God behind them. It's absolutely possible for you and your marriage partner to have a relationship that becomes more wonderful every day. A relationship that is blessed of God, that results in your days being multiplied and the days of your children as the days of heaven upon earth. That's a promise given to us in Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21. If you were reading the book of the Song of Solomon, you will find in chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, these words, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant." You see, in the eyes of a husband, his wife is beautiful, and in this case, with eyes like the eye of a dove. In her eyes, no doubt, he is the most handsome man in all the world. In Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, he rejoiced and commended them because the charity, the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Paul took his words in our text seriously, incorporating this abounding love, these Thessalonians were, into their lives. I spoke last Sunday about the fact there are three different kinds of love. There's the eros love, which is a romantic love based primarily on the physical, and God planned and ordained for that to happen, for that to exist as an attraction, as a chemistry. And a lot of times, relationships never go beyond the animal instinct. There's the phileo kind of love, which is a respectful friendship kind of love. But the ultimate love, that is what I'm talking about today, is agape love. It's a love that is given by God. It's the kind of love that we seek to grow in our marriage. It's important to have all three kinds, really, in the home. It's a wonderful thing when a husband and wife are romantically attracted to each other. They're not just friends. They're not just business partners. They're not just people who share the rent. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. But happier still is that home where husband and wife also genuinely respect each other and like each other as best friends. But the happiest homes are those where every thought, every activity is saturated not with just romantic love and friendship love, but with the ultimate kind of love, the spiritual love, the sacrificial love that Christ said we ought to have one for another. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." He's talking about sacrificial, ultimate, godly love one to another. It's my observation that every person needs more love. And every person needs to love more. Each family needs more love, and each family needs to love more. Don't be like the Dead Sea. If you're always receiving and never giving love, your relationship will die. There's no life in the Dead Sea. So how can you grow and increase your love in the family? First of all, express your love. Express your love, your devotion, your tenderness. I've heard had people tell me, "Preacher, I have never heard my father say to my mother, 'I love you.'" And also, I've heard it said, "Preacher, I've never heard my mom tell my dad that she loved him." Husbands sometimes never tell their wives. Wives never tell their husbands. Dr. Nathaniel Brandon is a psychologist whose advice about marriage has appeared in national magazines. And when asked, "Are there specific ways in which couples who remain happily in love behave differently from couples who don't?" And he replied that couples who stay in love never take their personal relationships for granted. They express affection for each other every day in various ways. They frequently say, "I love you." They're physically affectionate. They hold hands. They're constantly hugging and cuddling and expressing their love sexually. They verbalize their appreciation and their admiration for each other. They share their thoughts and feelings and learning to self-disclose what's on their minds and their hearts to each other. They confide in each other. They convey their love materially, giving little gifts to each other. They create time to be alone together. Express affection. Some children have never seen mom or dad express affection for each other. A marriage may be made in heaven, but the maintenance must be made on earth. In Ephesians 5:32, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Paul writes to Titus and tells him in chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, to teach the aged women, to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Paul tells us that our testimony for Christ will not be what it should be unless our marital relationship reflects love one for the other. Be careful that your marriage doesn't become a duel instead of a duet. Romans 14:19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." Success in marriage is more than finding the right person. Success in marriage is being the right person. Say, are you capable of loving your partner, your marriage partner, as Christ loves you? Are you capable of loving to that degree? Jesus said we're to love one another. How much more are we to love our marriage partner as He loves us? Marriage has been compared to an empty box. And it will remain empty unless you put more into it than you're taking out. Express affection, love, devotion, tenderness. You may say, "Well, I'm just not the affectionate type." Then ask God to make you the affectionate type. Amen? God said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." Get that love to that other person. And you'll be blessed in the doing of it. Number two, act like you love each other, whether you feel like it or not. Hello. There are days when we don't much feel like loving. Isn't that right? And there are times when it seems hard to get an inspirational thought to preach. But I have found that if I'll just go ahead and begin, the inspiration will come. I believe that if we act as if we feel a certain way, sooner or later we will actually begin feeling that way. William James says, by regulating the action, we can indirectly regulate the feeling. Tony Campolo wrote, I challenge those who come to me for marriage counseling this way. If you do what I tell you for an entire month, I can promise you by the end of the month, you will be in love with your mate. Are you willing to give it a try? He said, when couples accept my challenge, the results are invariably successful. My prescription for creating love is simple. Do 10 things each day that you would do if you really were in love. He said, I know that if people do loving things for each other, it will not be long before they experience the feelings that are often identified as being in love. Oftentimes, I've suggested that people do again those things that they did prior to marriage, that resulted in marriage. If they will do again those things they did to get married, they can stay married. Amen? Does that make sense to you? Word of caution. Don't become a nagger. Don't be nagging. Somebody compared nagging as being nibbled to death by a duck. Solomon, who ought to know? Well, he had a whole lot of wives. Proverbs 21:9, it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Paul, in writing to Titus again, says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Proverbs 27:15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day in a contentious woman or alike. I've said it before, and I think it'll better say it again today, a squeaky wheel doesn't always get the grease. Sometimes it gets replaced. In Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always grease and always grease. Y'all pardon me, will you? I'm trying to say, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And yes, you could say, let your speech be greased with grace. Amen? Again, no worldly success can compensate for failure at home. Did you hear about the husband that stood up in a meeting and said, the secrets of success are a good wife and a steady job? Somebody said, well, how do you know that? And he said, my wife told me. Be romantic. Be your wife's best friend or your husband's best friend. Every day, show your mate how much you love them with your words, your touch, your thoughtfulness. And when tempted to criticize, don't bite your tongue. Criticism never helps anybody. It's just like a giant vacuum cleaner that sucks all the energy right out of your marriage and out of your home. Every day, look for ways to improve your marriage. Save an evening a week for just you and your wife. I remember Brother Alvin Fleming telling about, he did that one time. Well, he did constantly, really. And goes out for a week, goes out for a night, and a quiet evening, a meal, and candlelight, and soft music. And he said, well, when do you go? He says, well, I go on Tuesday. My wife goes on Thursday. But if you have a disagreement, regardless of who is wrong, apologize. If you do, I mean, you can say, I'm sorry I upset you. Would you forgive me? These are healing words, but mean them. I guarantee you, every one of us, if we care about people, we're going to have to say, I'm sorry at some point. Because I don't know of a man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And we all need to come to that place of being able and willing to say, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? Open the door for your wife. Always help her with her coat. Remember that a lasting marriage is built on love and trust and commitment, not convenience. Someone said, spoil your wife, not your children. Go for long hand-holding walks with her. Create, maintain that heavenly home. If you live in the same city as your mother-in-law, occasionally trim her hedges and wash her car. Put a love note in your wife's luggage before she leaves on a trip. Whisper, I love you, as she's drifting off to sleep. Somebody says, you know your husband still loves you when there are two brownies left and he takes the smallest one. Happiness is your spouse falling asleep in your arms. Marriage is like a garden that always needs tending. Never marry someone in hopes that they'll change later. Remember that children, marriage, and flowers reflect the kind of care they get. Let your children hear you say things to your wife that lets them know how much you love her and treasure her. A loving, faithful wife is a man's greatest treasure. And when you have a wonderful wife, tell others. But be sure to tell her too. You can energize your marriage with appreciation, with affection, with attention, with acceptance. Being a success in the office isn't worth it if it means being a failure at home. Amen. I've learned you can tell a lot about a man by the happiness of his wife and the respect given him by his children. Blow a kiss to them as they're driving out of the driveway. Stand in the doorway till they're out of sight. Remember, the best way to improve your kids is to improve your marriage. Remember that having a successful marriage is like farming. You have to start all over every morning. Champion your wife and your husband. Be their best friend, their biggest fan. Never say anything uncomplimentary about your wife or your husband in the presence of your children or anyone else. Don't think you can feel an emptiness in your heart with money. Remember that the best relationship is one where your love for each other is greater than your need for each other. Say something positive as early as possible every morning. Tell your wife how terrific she looks. Don't be like the guy running the garbage truck. The wife popped out of the doorway with the curlers, bathrobe and everything on, with a handbag full of garbage. Said, woohoo, am I too late for the garbage? And he said, no, jump right in. That's my second big point. Act like you love each other, and before long you will be actually feeling like you love each other. Do 10 things every day that you would do if you really were in love, and remember, the same kindness and tenderness and love that brought you together will keep you together. Avoid platonic friendships with the opposite sex. Most affairs begin as innocent relationships, which, without anyone's realizing it, begin to develop a life of their own. While we can't isolate ourselves from the opposite sex, we need to keep tight boundaries. It is dangerous to find yourself telling a member of the opposite sex something you would not want your spouse to know. It's dangerous to find yourself wanting to spend time with a member of the opposite sex besides your wife or your husband and making provision to find yourself alone with them. Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Have personal rules. Avoid being drawn into a relationship that may divert your emotional energy and attention from your marriage. Stay off the internet, stay out of the chat rooms, and away from the adulterous conversations that are carried on there. Did you hear me? Stay off the porn sites. They will wreck your marriage. Number four, be faithful to remember God's Sabbath and to reverence His sanctuary. Leviticus 19:30. At the marriage of Queen Elizabeth II to the Duke of Edinburgh in 1947, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Geoffrey Francis Fisher, said, "The ever-living Christ is here to bless you. The nearer you keep to Him, the nearer you will be to one another. And so I say to you, dress up and go to church together. Make it a special event every week. Worship as a family together." Dr. Lee Robertson says it takes three to thrive, and what I mean by that is Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening. Family, children. The couple that prays together stays together. Not just those who talk about praying together, but those who actually pray together. Number five, give strength to each other. Remember the law of sowing and reaping. Sow happiness in the life of another person, and that happiness will return to you. Someone said, "I found out how to be happily married. Just give her everything she wants." No. In his book, The Fine Art of Friendship, Ted Engstrom tells of a man named Joe. He was so upset with his wife that he decided on getting a divorce. But before serving her with the papers, he decided to see a psychologist, and with a specific purpose of finding out how to make life as miserable and difficult as possible for his wife. The psychologist said, "Well, Joe, I've got the perfect solution. Starting tonight, treat your wife as if she were a goddess. Change your attitude 180 degrees. Start doing everything in your power to please her. Listen to her when she talks about her problems. Help her around the house. Take her out to dinner on weekends. Pretend she's a goddess. Then after 2 months of this wonderful behavior, just pack your bags and leave. That should get to her." That night, Joe began to implement his plan. Couldn't wait to do things for her. Brought her breakfast in bed, sent her flowers for no reason. Took her on romantic weekends. Read books to each other at night. Joe listened to her as never before. He kept this up for a full 2 months. And after the allotted time, the psychologist gave Joe a call at work and said, "Joe, how's it going? Did you file for divorce? Are you a happy bachelor once again?" "Divorced?" asked Joe in dismay. "Are you kidding? I'm married to a goddess. I've never been happier in all my life." What am I saying? I'm saying it's the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever it is that you want to receive in your marriage, in the way of kindness, and tenderness, and love, and appreciation, give that to your spouse. And most of the time, if there's not a third party involved, if there's a third party involved, major complications occur. And they really don't care about loving like Christ loved. But if you're a Christian, you care about that. If you're a Christian, you care about saving your marriage. if you will give to that spouse the kindness and tenderness and love and appreciation that you would like to receive, most of the time it will return to you in an even greater measure. Amen. 5 ways to improve your marriage. 5 ways to grow your love. 1, express affection. 2, act like you love each other whether you feel like it or not. 3, avoid platonic friendships with the opposite sex. 4, be faithful to remember God's Sabbaths and to reverence His sanctuary. Get involved at church. 5, remember the law of sowing and reaping. Give strength to each other. Treat your spouse as if they are the most important person in the world to you, and most of the time, they will treat you the same way. Make up your mind to be a marathon runner in marriage. To run with patience the race that is set before you. Loving your wife, your husband, your children. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and the faith of your family. Paul speaks about love increasing. To make or be more, to grow, to become greater, to enlarge, to expand. That's the very opposite of decreasing, isn't it? He said, I want your love to increase and abound, to be better, to excel, to have more than enough and to spare, just to overflow. What's he talking about? He's talking about abounding, overflowing love, one to another. Unblameable in holiness before God. 5 ways to grow your love.